بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، we are on the subject of the test of knowledge as described in Surah Al-Kahf. Now we mentioned two lessons yesterday. One was the importance of protecting yourself from arrogance of any kind as far as knowledge is concerned. Second one is to have the humility to seek a teacher and learn from a teacher. As we say in Urdu, deen seekha jata hai, padha nahi jata. So religion is learned not by reading but by learning. This does not mean that you don't have to read. Obviously you have to read, but it is more than reading, and that is where the importance of the teacher, the importance of the muslih, the mentor, somebody to correct you, this is absolutely fundamentally important in the learning of Islam. I always say this, that Islam is a practice. Islam is not a theory, Islam is not a philosophy. And just like any practice, you cannot learn judo by reading a book on judo. You have to go to a dojo, you have to submit yourself to a teacher, and the teacher will teach you. There may be some theoretical aspect of it which you have to study, but without going to a teacher, you will never learn judo, you will never learn any martial art. You will never learn any practical thing. For example, take flying. You will never learn flying without going to flying school. You cannot learn flying on your own. You can't read a book and say, I'm going to start flying. You cannot do that. You have to go. I'm not talking about the legal aspects. I'm saying it is not possible. You cannot go and learn how to fly. You cannot go and learn how to sail a boat unless you learn with a sailor. Somebody who knows sailing has to teach you how to sail a boat. Otherwise, the first wind will sink you. And so on and so on. Take swimming for example. You can never learn to swim unless there is somebody who is teaching you how to swim. You can't learn to swim. So the same thing applies as far as Islam is concerned. That, and this is a big trap that a lot of so-called self-made or self-taught people fall into. They read a couple of books here and there. And then today, thanks to the internet, everything is there. So they read stuff from here and there, and then they start feeling that they are scholars, and they start giving fatwas, and they start giving opinions, and they start lecturing and so on and so forth. All of this is completely out of the tradition of Islam. The whole issue of ijaza, which used to be there, what is ijazat? Ijazat, ijazat, permission to do what? To teach, permission to convey. This system of ijaza, which was there in Islam, in our traditional system of learning, was where a student went and submitted himself to a ustad, and then only when he got the ijaza for that thing, did he have the authorization to tell somebody. To the extent, for example, if you are studying tajweed under an ustad, you did not have the right to correct somebody else's tajweed until you got the ijaza from the ustad. So you know tajweed, and tajweed doesn't take a long time to learn. It's very easy, and we should all learn tajweed. So you learn tajweed, you haven't got the ijaza yet, you hear somebody reciting, he's making a mistake, you are not supposed to correct that person. You just keep quiet. It's not your job to correct that person. Somebody else will correct that person. Now there is a logic and there is a wisdom behind this, which is not unleashed on the world. Whole bunch of half-baked people who do not have the tarbiyah, who do not have the knowledge, who have not learned the sequence of knowledge, who have not learned the usul of deen, and then they think that they have knowledge and they are scholars because they read something from here, something from there. Now this is a great safety measure that is there in deen to prevent a lot of misguidance in the guise of guidance. The two kinds of misguidance. One is misguidance is straightforward going to haram. Obviously, that is, it's visible. You can see that. But the other form of misguidance, and there are some big names, if you read history, there are some people who are very highly respected, I'm talking about Muslims, very highly respected, who are in, you know, big leaders in their fields and so on. But from the religious perspective, from the aspect of Aqeedah, from the aspect of the elements and principles of Deen, they were very, very badly misguided, hugely deviated. And Allah only knows whether, I'm not going to say that they are Muslim or not Muslim. It's not for me to pronounce any takfir on anybody. But Allah only knows whether they remained Muslim or whether they completely went out of the fold of Islam. Some very, very big names. So it's not something that, it's a strange thing that this kind of stuff happens more to the so-called educated people, you know, because that, they, I mean, the one who's not educated, he doesn't even fall into this trap. Mostly he doesn't read, but the one who's educated, he thinks he knows, right? And that's why I think I did a Fajr reminder also on this, the whole issue of free thinking. In Islam, there is free thinking within boundaries. There is not absolute free thinking, like the Mu'tazila did and the others. Absolute free thinking, I can think anything and whatever comes into my intellect is actual. No, that's not Islam. Islam, free thinking is within the boundary of the Aqeedah, within the boundaries that are set by Rasulullah. Anything that takes you out of there is from shaitan. There's no two ways about that. It is from shaitan. These are the lessons from the issue of knowledge. Now, why do we fall into all this? Is also because, and this again, you see the issue of Musa alayhi salam and the methodology of teaching. The Khidr alayhi salam could have sat down Musa alayhi salam and said, okay, now this is, you have come to me to learn, so here is lesson number one, right? This is lesson number two, tomorrow lesson number three. Here is this course that you have to do with me, which is a weekend course, which is a 10-month course, which is a 6-month course, which is a 10-year course, whatever it is. And after that, you will be an ustad, or you have learned. He didn't do all this. What did he do? He said, come with me. What was his teaching? He said, come with me. So he is the ustad, and the student are doing safar together. They are traveling together. The learning is part of the experience. Khidr alayhi salam did not sit him down and say, here is this lesson. No, Musa alayhi salam learned from watching his ustad doing whatever he was doing. So the questions came into his mind. When he made a hole in the boat, the question came into his mind, why did you do that? Right? Now, in terms of Khidr alayhi salam, you will find here something which normally in our teaching we will not do. You will encourage questions and you will answer questions. But that was a very specialized case in a different kind of learning and so forth. So therefore, Khidr alayhi salam said, don't ask me any questions. Just watch what I'm doing. But eventually, he answered those questions. At the end of the third thing, he said, "Hadha firaqu bayni wa baynak. This is my, you know, separation from you and me. You have qualified, now you can go." But he gave him the answer. So the point here is that he didn't leave him without, he didn't leave him in confusion. He gave the answers. So obviously, the big lesson here to understand is that information is not knowledge. Now this is the trap. This is the trap of shaitan. Shaitan tells you that information is knowledge. I studied this book, this book, this book, therefore I am a scholar. You're not a scholar. You just have some information. Now, what is my dalil for this? This is not, I try never to speak from my head alone. My dalil for this is the beautiful hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, which we have heard many times, about the methodology of teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this refers to the incident where he said he took 12 years to memorize Suratul Baqarah. And they asked him, why is that? He said, because this is how we learnt. He didn't say this is how I learnt. We meaning this was the general norm. This is how Rasulullah ﷺ taught. This is how the Sahaba learnt. What was that norm? He said, we would go and take 10 ayat from the Prophet ﷺ. We would memorize them. We would think about them. We would discuss them. If there was anything in those ayat to be applied in our lives, we would apply them. Meaning, we would experience all that. And with the experience, we would have, maybe somebody would have some shukuk, somebody would have some doubts, somebody would have some confusion, somebody would have some thoughts, questions. They would go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they would clarify all that. He said, once we were satisfied with all of that, then we would go and take the next 10 ayat. So they were not focused on how long is it this going to take. See, today, unfortunately, what's happened is that for various reasons, I mean, I'm not criticizing the system in this particular aspect, but for various reasons, we work within time frames. For example, if you admit a child to the school, you can't say, well, this child is going to be here until I am satisfied that he has learnt. Parents won't accept, child won't accept. You will say, no, how long will it take? How do I know how long will it take? It's a stupid question to ask. And it's a stupid question to answer. How do I know how long it will take? What is the capacity of your child to absorb knowledge? What is my capacity to give that? How long will it take to learn? But unfortunately, we are stuck with. So with how long will it take? It will take 6 years. It will take 12 years. How do you know? You don't know. You just made up a number out of your head. Who told you that there should be 12 classes? Where is this? Is it in some kitab? Is it ayat of the Quran? That there should be 12 classes? Who told you in a Darul Uloom Madrasa the course must take 6 years? Where is that 6 from? These are from our own experience and so on. You have tried it and so forth. You say, okay, I think 6 years is enough for whatever we need to teach. But there is no actual guarantee that this is sufficient. So what has happened as a result of that is that we take shortcuts and we compromise. With Rasulullah, he was not running a course. That's why sometimes people say As-Suffa was the first university. These are all statements you should not make. There's no university. Suffa was a place of tarbiyah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not giving degrees. It was a place of tarbiyah. How long did it take? It took whatever it took. When Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and this is again, see from the teaching and learning. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, somebody asked him, they said, how is it that you have quoted so many ahadith, whereas people like Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, who stayed with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam much longer than you, they have not quoted so many ahadith. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, when you people, now he's not talking about Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, he's answering the one who asked him. So he said, when you people used to be in the market, I used to be with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Abu Huraira, I don't know how many of you know, radiallahu anhu, spent only 3 years with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He came at the time of Khaybar, and then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam 3 years later, he passed away. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu spent only 3 years. But he learned so much in those 3 years that he knew more than people who had spent much longer than him with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, I used to be with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the extent sometimes that I would be with him 24 hours. I would not have eaten for days together. I would fall down with weakness, semi-conscious, and people used to, in those days, for epileptic fits, they used to put leather, they used to make you smell leather. So they used to, people would take their slippers and put on my face for me to smell, thinking that I have had a fit. He said, I didn't have a fit, I was weak. Now, he was not weak because he was destitute or he was poor or he was, no, he simply did not give himself the time even to go and eat. That is the meaning of dedication. Now, Abu Huraira was not doing a 3-year course, radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not teaching the Ashabu Suffa. The whole issue of approach to learning, we have completely changed. Learning comes with sohbat of the ustad. You have to spend time with the teacher, doing whatever the teacher is doing. It's not a question of saying spend time with the teacher means the teacher must now sit here with the book, with the Quran, with the Hadith Kitab or something and give you dars. No. Whatever the teacher is doing, he's going for a walk, you go for a walk with him. Except for his private life, you must be with the teacher. Now we don't even have the system for that. If many times people come and ask me, can I send my son to be with you? I said, be with me means what? Where will he stay? What will he do? We don't have. That is why the old khankhas that we had. This is what the khankha was. I spent time in a khankha. We would go and live there. But the system was there. Then the food would come and you would eat with the sheikh. Then he would go inside. The only time you didn't see him was when he was with his family or he was sleeping or he had gone to the toilet. Otherwise, he was with you 24 hours. All the salawat, this, that. He would lie down, he would sleep. Somebody would, if he had needed to, his legs had to be pressed, somebody would press his legs, then he would just simply sit and maybe you make a joke, he would make a joke, you have some tea. But you are learning, constantly you are learning in that whole process. Learning from experience. What we have is information which we mistake to be knowledge. Information which is implemented, which is acted upon, creates understanding. This understanding must be put before the Shaykh, must be put before the Ustad, must be put before the Musleh for correction. What comes out of that is knowledge. If you have simply studied a book, if you have simply read something, please don't fool yourself. You do not have knowledge. I don't care how many books you studied. I don't care which degree you have. I don't care which Darul Uloom you went to. I don't care which university you graduated from. You do not have knowledge. You have information. That information has to be acted upon. It has to be experienced. Then what comes out of it has to be put before the Ustad. The Ustad has to be somebody who knows how to correct. And only then will that convert into knowledge. Finally, one of the stories, the student went to, he had gone to study in Yemen, and he said that I had one day suddenly some very serious doubts. Now he's studying Quran. He said, I had suddenly very serious doubts, and he said the doubts were such that I went into a panic. Because he said, this looks like my whole iman is going to go away. So he said, it was late in the, very late in the night. Now at that time, I don't know, how do I go even to my ustad? So he said, the first thing I did in the morning, I ran to the ustad. And I said to him, I am in this panic state. I have got these doubts. I don't know what to do. Maybe my iman is gone or something. I have become murtad. Allah knows what. What must I do? What does the ustad do? Does the ustad tell him, what is your doubt? Let me clarify. No. The ustad said, recite La ilaha illallah. Go sit down in the corner. Say La ilaha illallah. And he says, I went and sat down. And he said, I started reciting La ilaha illallah. He said, wallahi, I did not even finish 10 times. My doubts are gone. He said, my heart is at peace. Alhamdulillah, everything is gone. Now this is not magic. This is medicine. He's a doctor. He diagnoses the illness, he gives a medicine. It gets cured. Now later, even if the doubt was there, maybe he would have asked the ustad would have clarified. But that state of panic, the state where the man now is, if you don't treat him there, he's finished. You need an ustad who knows what to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us teachers who will teach us, who know how to teach us. May Allah give us the tawfiq and the humility and the humbleness to go and submit to a teacher. May Allah save us from arrogance. May Allah save us from takabbur. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and protect us and keep us on the path that leads to His rida. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.